Today, I'm with Barnaby, year 12 student and open water swimmer. This is an amazing conversation. He's about to swim the English Channel. You'll love Barney. Come with me now.
Welcome to Mount Kelly Conversations, the podcast from Mount Kelly in Devon. In each episode, we have conversations with pupils, with staff, and with other people in the school community to find out more about life at the school. Come with us now as we get right into this episode.
Barney, thank you for joining us on this episode of the podcast. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, it's great to have you here. And we're talking to each other on a Friday. It's Friday lunchtime-ish. Does that mean you're missing a bit of lunch break right now?
Yes, but I don't mind missing a bit to be speaking to you. Very happy with that.
Well, you're very kind and very polite in that case. Now, you're in year 12. We know that already. And we also know about you and swimming. But actually, before we talk about that, tell us what A-levels you're doing there at school, just in case people are interested.
So I do a slightly different course. So I do the triple BTEC PE, which is one of the courses that's offered at Mount Kelly. So it's slightly different. So it's basically all coursework based. And I also do an A-level in business on the side of that. So quite busy, but it's just slightly different.
Ah, okay. Which do you prefer then?
Personally, I love the BTEC. I think it's incredible. I think for me, exams don't suit. I'm not rubbish at them, but GCSEs was very stressful for me. So I love doing coursework and getting it done in my own rate and when it works for me.
And then doing business as a separate A-level then, is that what you said?
Yeah, so business is a separate A-level. So I've also still got to do an A-level in that, but that's quite exciting because I really enjoy business. I think it's one of those passions for me. So I don't mind doing it when it's like that, to be honest.
That's really good. Let's not focus on the exam that's going to be coming with that in that case.
No, agreed. Hopefully not think about that.
Barney, tell me about swimming. First of all, what is it that got you into swimming in the first place? How old were you?
Right. So I think I was about 7 years old when I first started swimming. So me and my family used to live abroad in the Middle East in Dubai. And obviously the swimming out there is very strong, but it's lovely to swim outside. You know, from a young age, I always remember jumping in and out of pools, which I used to love. And my older brother, so I've got two older siblings, and he used to swim. And I was obviously very competitive with them, as you do. So I always wanted to beat him. So my idea was, I was like, right, I should start swimming. So at the age of 7, I started swimming. And then as I got older, I started to take it more seriously. When I was about 12 years old, I think I started, you know, really taking it quite seriously, training properly, training 7 times a week. And then from that moment onwards, it just started to blow up quite quickly. I found my love for it. In Dubai, I ended up doing a lot of open water races, which led me to what I do now with all of the open water stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realized that is a proper passion of mine and I really enjoy doing it. So I think it all stemmed from then. And I don't see myself stopping any day soon. Like, I just love the idea, how amazing it makes you feel after every single swim. Like, it's just incredible.
Awesome. That's really good to hear. It's really good to hear. And I'm sure that any parent listening to this who has children who also go swimming, even just a few times a week, you mentioned 7 times a week, they'll be fully aware of how early you need to get up in the morning. Is that right?
So 7 days a week is what we used to do. We're now at like 8 or 9 sessions. So the early mornings do hurt when you're getting up at 5:15. But I'm quite lucky, as obviously a boarder here. So then I roll out of bed out of Newton House, which is about 15 meters away from the swimming pool, and I'm on poolside within 10 minutes of waking up. I feel very bad for the children that have got to drive 30 minutes to get there every morning.
But... Well, one of the benefits of boarding, isn't it?
Agreed.
And you mentioned about, if I can use your words, open water stuff. I don't really understand what open water stuff is, but tell us a little bit about what you were doing, first of all, in Dubai, actually.
In Dubai, we used to do these little swims, and my dad's quite a passionate swimmer, so we used to do a lot of swimming together where there were little mile swims. And I remember them so fondly because I was always so nervous for them. I used to get horribly nervous. I hated the starts where, I don't know if you've seen triathlons or open water races, where it's a mass start. You all jump in at the same time and it is chaos, like absolute chaos. Mm-hmm. And I used to absolutely love doing that. And I used to get nervous for it. And then the more I did it, the more I enjoyed it. And when I'm in open water, so it started with little 1,500s, 1,600s, occasional 800 open water. And then after that, I started to do 3Ks. Mm-hmm. And then I finally came to Mount Kelly in year 10, mm-hmm. which was my big move. And they realized I was very much a distance swimmer and nothing else other than that. Mm. So we started doing open water nationals, which got to the 5K and that kind of thing. So we have like our regionals and nationals, which at the moment used to be in year 10, 5K and 5K. Mm-hmm. Now it's 5K and 7.5K as you get older, mm-hmm. which I really enjoyed. Wow. I remember, when was it? I was in year 9 in Dubai at the time. And my first long race was a swim for Alzheimer's, which was a 5K swim along a beach called Woolacombe in Devon. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was like, that was a proper taste for open water swimming.
Mm.
And then from then onwards, the more open water stuff, as I said, was then the Ocean Man, which I competed in recently, which was one of the things I started doing, which is basically a 10K race. So they do them all over the world. They're everywhere. And if you become top 10 in them, you get to compete at this World Championships Ocean Man, which happened recently in Dubai. So yeah, loads of open water stuff is what I love doing. We go training off Plymouth, which is amazing. And lots of bits like that. I had this amazing challenge through SwimQuest, which was this thing in September where we swam in the Scilly Isles. So we did 15K cold water swimming all the way around the Scilly Isles, which was stunning. And that's all in preparation for the big channel in June.
Tell me, what was it like then for you going back out to Dubai, but in particular by competing in this Ocean Man 10K that you mentioned?
Well, I'll be honest, it was incredibly nerve-wracking again. I'm very good at getting nervous, as you would have heard already. But going back to home, to almost home for me, because we lived there for 10 years, it was felt quite normal. And we're going back to the beaches we used to spend so much time on. But it was a crazy event. I wasn't expecting it. So I qualified for it in Ibiza when we raced there. And I thought, right, this is just a, you know, little competition. I realized it was much, much more than that quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When you see all of the Red Bull sponsorship come up and
oh, wow.
A whole athlete zone, and you've got 600 odd swimmers racing the 10K, you're like, right. And these are all very good swimmers.
Mm.
So straight away, I was like, I'm very nervous.
Mm.
And so we arrived on the Friday and got ready. And then the race was on the Sunday. And the race was absolute chaos from the minute we started. It was basically, the idea was the wind was meant to come in at 12 o'clock for that race. And I was hoping, my idea was I wanted to medal as a under 19. And I was like, right, the wind's coming in at 12. I should finish the race at 12:15. It should take me about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Fingers crossed, that's what should happen. The wind happened to come in at 11 o'clock instead, which meant that was halfway through my race. So we started off the race. I got a nosebleed in the first 20 meters of the race.
How come?
Which was not fun. Well, when we all start, there were people jumping on everyone. So it gets very chaotic. And I got elbowed right in the nose off the start.
Oh no.
Which put me in a bit of a bad mood. But that was fine. And the first lap was absolutely stunning. I was sitting in about fifth place overall, and I was really happy. And you obviously don't know what age group's in front of you. So I was like, oh, I could be fifth right now, but I could be first. Like, God knows what's going on.
Mm.
And then the first lap was stunning. I'm looking at the skyline because it was two laps of a 5K course. And I was like, right, this is really nice. And then all of a sudden, the gates opened up and the wind picked up and the waves got huge. And I got horribly seasick very quickly.
Oh, no, really?
To the point where on the last, so first, my splits were horrendous. They went so much slower, and it was, I threw up three times on the final leg coming in.
Bye.
And I remember there was a point where I was just so ready to finish. I was like, I really can't, like, I was like, this is not fun at all. And I almost thought about quitting, and I was like, but the point was, what was quite funny was I couldn't find a boat to tell them I wanted to stop. So I just kept on swimming. And then eventually I was like, right, I might as well finish it now. So I kept on going. And I remember coming out of that water, and the emotional side of it was incredible. Because I remember touching the beach, and I was like, oh my God, land, finally. Like, my head's been swirling, my stomach is killing. And I remember walking up to the beach, and every single person that finished was in tears, like floods of tears.
Wow.
I saw my dad, my family,
mm-hmm.
all the supporters, my old friends and stuff, and they're all there. And I was in absolute floods of tears because just the feeling of finishing it was incredible. Like, physically, obviously open water is difficult and swimming is difficult, but mentally that was incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the mental side of it, that's why this is part of the channel, this links to the channel part and men's mental health, the mental part of swimming. And how much the mental side of everything in life is important, it just really showed in that moment.
Gosh. So where did you come then in that?
So I ended up, that was the main bit, I forgot about that bit. So I ended up coming second under 19. So I was really happy to.
No way.
Yeah, so I came second under 19. And so I medaled, did exactly what I wanted to do. And I came sixth overall. So I was really, really happy. So it was a great event. And I've got another 2 years in the under 19. And I'm hoping I will continue to compete in them. Because I thought, great organized event, really fun, great environment, and really, it's a very nice family feel with Ocean Man. I really enjoyed it.
Congratulations on that. I mean, it sounds like a real ordeal that you went through. And I don't know how you survived all of that, but then to do all of that and then come in second, that's just outstanding. So huge congratulations to
you
for that. Let's take it back to school for a second. First of all, I'm dying to ask you, you joined Mount Kelly then, it sounds like, in year 10, I think you said.
Yeah.
What was that like for you, joining a school in year 10, given that I imagine that there were existing friendship groups groups and things like that. You know, how quickly did you feel like you were part of that family at Mount Kelly?
Well, I feel one, the Mount Kelly family is so strong. Like, it's incredible. I think there's tribes within the school. So I think within the groups, you join onto the groups that you're quite used to. So straight away, you know, joining the friend groups were already there because you're joining in year 10, as you said. But I was very lucky in the house I was joining. We went into a room of five of us, which were all new and all swimmers.
Oh, wow.
Which gave us all something in common. And no we were way. All basically in the same position, which was incredible. And obviously, so I've never boarded before. And that was a massive experience to go from being on your own to all of a sudden, oh my goodness, there's four people sharing a room together. Which was incredible for me. I've made some of my closest friends I think I'll ever make, and I think I will always stay with them. And what's lovely is it's not even just that. You then make friends from different houses. Like from the get-go, although it was very, again, extremely nervous coming, I was like, I remember 15 minutes before coming to the school, I remember I was driving to Tavistock with my mum, and I was like, mum, actually, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, this is not what I want to do. And then I remember sending my mum about 10 messages within the first week, forgetting to even text her because I was having that much fun back at school. I was like, right, this is incredible. Like, I absolutely loved it because it was such an incredible experience. It's like you're meeting all these people, you're with your friends 24/7, you're learning and you feel so welcome. Like, I thought it was going to be really intimidating, but it wasn't because everyone was so lovely from the get-go.
You know, I think the only time a mother would be happy not to hear from her son is when her son's just joined a boarding school because, you know, for all the right reasons, it means that you're settling in quick, exactly. Making friends and having a good time. That's awesome to hear. That really is. Now, of course, obviously you joined Mount Kelly as someone who is already swimming. So we can't credit the school completely for your swimming success. But I'd love to understand a little bit about how Mount Kelly picked up on your swimming capability, your ability to swim in water, and then to progress that within school.
Well, it's quite interesting, actually. So when I was in Dubai, I saw Mount Kelly as a school. They came to a meet and I was like, right, they are cool. Like, I want to be part of that one day. So, and my parents, we were thinking about moving back to the UK in the next 2 year, 3 year basis. So we were like, right, I think I'd like to go to a school like that. And straight away, although you say, yes, I swam before and I did, the improvement made as soon as I came to the school was incredible. So obviously, so they look at how good of a swimmer you are. How good of, that's not great, but they look at you and they go, right, so what squad are you going to suit? Sprint, middle distance, elite. Depending on a FINA point basis. So that's the scoring you get based on your swimming. And obviously it's quite difficult being open water more now because you don't get points on open water. So it was mainly on the pool 1500 and 800 for me. So straight away I was put in distance squad and I was put with this incredible coach named Neil Edwards, who's still coaching me to this day.
Okay.
Who's supporting me through everything I do at the moment, which is incredible. And honestly, it was such an amazing experience because I think, what was it? This won't make sense to a lot of people, but first time I entered Mount Kelly with a 1500 time of 18 minutes. And by the first half term, I got my 1500 time down to 16 minutes and 30 seconds.
Wow. That's
so I dropped a minute and a half in half a term, which was incredible just due to the sheer professionalism from the school and how just everything's about swimming. Like for me, I love that. Like if you love swimming, it's perfect for you because you're with a department that's, you're doing all these plans, you're setting goals, you're filming, you're swimming. Like it is such an incredible experience and you don't get it anywhere else. Like I've been in other programs and it is not that incredible. Like this is such a well-organized program. You always need to step back a bit. And I always try and do that to live in the moment. And you step back and you think how lucky you are to be in such an incredible group with such incredible swimmers as well. There's always someone to push you on. There's always someone quicker. There's always someone you may want to beat. You've got friends in your squads. It's incredible.
What an really impressive good. Outlook on life. Yeah, I'm full of admiration for all of this. I really am. And also full of admiration for this idea that I've been told about, that you want to swim the channel. Is that right?
Yes. So as I mentioned before, so the English Channel, 34K. Yeah, so it all came about. I was 12 years old and I said to my mum, I was like, I want to swim the English Channel. She's like, you're nuts. You're not doing that. and I kept on asking for a long time after that. And back then, the youngest person to swim it was a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I worked out if I swam it that summer, I'd be the youngest person to do it. So I was like, right, I need to do that. Turns out they don't let people under 16 do it anymore.
Oh, so really? No.
Yeah, so they stopped that. So my whole plan was scuppered.
And that, of course, means that the person who has the record for being the youngest will stay.
Has always got that. Yeah. So he's now stuck with that, which is quite a nice record to have. So that's never getting beaten. So basically, yeah, I kept on begging my mum. And then eventually, when I came to Mount Kelly, I was in my first year. And I remember sitting in my room and I was like, right, I'm going to do it. I'll book it. And then just tell my mum I booked it and see what she says. So I was a bit sneaky. I went through the Channel Association and I texted the pilots. So that's the first stage. So you go onto the website, you've got these pilots who have got their fishing boats and they are the group. They're the people that will guide you across. And I sent them a message saying, have you got any availability? And you have to book for about, I booked 2 years in advance.
No
and
way.
It normally books up for about 2-3 years now. That's the amount of people that want to do it. But just to mention, only 1,800 people have ever finished it.
Wow,
so
no way.
So it's a very small amount of people. Mm. So I think over 5,000 people have attempted it now. So there's a huge, huge, huge demand for it. Mm. But I remember I was wanting to swim it. So I sent these guys a message and I got a reply. And I was like, oh, I've actually got to do this now. And I was like, oh. So I sent my mum a message. I was like, oh, mum, I've sent these guys a message. They can do it. Can I start it? And she was like, let me have a look. She goes on through, she checks it all, obviously made sure it's legit and I'm not doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And she goes, right, then book it. And I was like, oh my God, I've done this. So I booked it. at that point, I was like, that's really cool. And I told a lot of people. And then more and more, it suddenly 2 years turned into a year, which turned into 9 months, which is now about 5 months away. So it suddenly came up very quickly. And it just incredible. Like the team, the support, and it's something I've always wanted to do, obviously, as I said before. So it was like, and then it was just now getting organized and getting prepared for it. So the other process was finding a charity to swim for. So I knew I wanted to swim for a charity. And I thought for me, I was like, there's obviously so many things you could swim for. There's so many different reasons. But for me, I went for Man Up, which is a men's mental health charity, which I think is incredible. They basically fund research and seminars for research towards men's mental health and seminars for people that may be experiencing issues or having to deal with it. From being a young lad in today's society, it is really hard to navigate. And it's not me taking it away from any other mental health issues. It's the fact that you see there's this whole stigma against men's mental health and the phrase man up. And that's where the charity came from. The phrase that you must man up is a myth. It's not true. It's so difficult nowadays. And I've been very close to many people that have struggled very closely with it. And it's really hard to watch because you see how much pain it's taken just to talk to your best mate about it. Imagine if you've actually want to get help, like how hard it would be to actually speak to someone. So seeing all of that and having friends like that really hit home a bit and made me I was like, right, I want to do that for this. And I want to try and just spread awareness as well. Like it's not only people donating and trying to raise money, it's also people thinking about it and even checking up on people. Like that's the idea. I want people to think of it and go, oh, he's doing that. I've got a mate, let me check up on him. Because the scary signs of it is you'll see people and you'll be like, yeah, he was just laughing at me, having a great time. But little do you know, he's in his room, bawling his eyes out, really upset about something, but you just wouldn't know. Like it's really difficult to see the signs. So I think that's the main reason I want to submit for them.
Wow, it's so impressive. That really is so impressive. Tell me something you're fearful about when it comes to doing something like swimming the English Channel.
I think I underestimated it quite a lot on my mind. From swims I've done recently, I've realized you can't underestimate it because I've done 10Ks and they've really hurt. And I think I'm scared mental side because I've spoken to a lot of people and I think a lot of people have tried to scare me a little bit off of it from the fact that they're like the mental side of you can see France from quite early in the swim and then it doesn't move. Like you just see it there and it doesn't get any closer for about 5-6 hours, which is really difficult because you don't think you're progressing. And I've seen videos of people where they've got it stuck in their head that they're not moving, that they're staying still, which is really, really stressful. Because imagine you're swimming and you're pushing everything you've got and you're thinking, right, I'm not moving forwards right now. Like you could get quite a scary feel. So I think that's a big fear for me. I think the cold water is a fear, but I was very lucky. I'll tell you a quick side story. When I was in the Scilly Isles doing this cold water swimming,
yeah,
I got in touch with now it's become a very good friend and very helpful to my journey, named John. Who basically he is part of this organization called SwimQuest, which does open water holidays,
okay,
which are incredible. And he swam the channel and he's good friends with this other man named Nick Adams, who is an incredible swimmer. He swam the channel 17 times.
Wow.
He swam his first one at 16 years old, mm-hmm. 15 years old.
Wow.
And then did a two-way at 16 years old. He's an incredible, incredible guy. Anyway, they're both supporting me to do this, which is massively helpful because one of my big fears is the cold water. You're swimming in sub 16 degrees, which is not easy. I've been trying to get used to it. It's really not easy. So they're massively helping me. So I've got an incredible camp with them in March where we're going, they do a channel preparation camp in Croatia where we swim. You do your qualifying swim, which you need to do, which is 6 hours. So you have to do a 6 hour swim in sub-16 water. So that's what we're doing in Croatia, which they're helping with. But I've started to do some different cold water swimming and oh my goodness, it's cold. But that's going back to the men's mental health side. I think the whole point of the channel links quite well with it because cold water immersion and cold water therapy is such a huge part of it. Like I feel like getting in cold water makes you feel amazing. If that's, I'm not saying everyone has to go for a swim in cold water, even have a cold shower, like it will make you feel so much better. Like it just mentally helps you think, makes you feel stronger. Like it is really, really incredible. So I think, yeah, the cold water was one of my big fears. Because I've done some swimming in a, we did 7 degree water recently in Ireland. That was cold. Mm. So the coldest I went to recently was in a Lido near where I live, which was 3.4 degrees, which was really not fun in the slightest. I was talking to my coach, Neil, about it. He's basically, Neil's my main, I spoke about these other guys, but Neil Edwards is my main supporter through all of this. He's going to be my pace swimmer on the day. He's on the boat. He's incredible. And we spoke about it and you just lose all sensation in your hands. Like you don't feel anything. You're trying to move your goggles and just your fingertips don't work. Like it is.
This sounds awful to me. This really does.
Yeah. You think, why would you do it? But I'm not saying do that. That's an extreme side of it. But it is, it's incredible. I love it.
Barney, I'm keeping an eye on time. Just one quick final question. What are you planning on doing after you leave Mount Kelly? What happens next in your life?
I have a feeling I'm a bit connected to these endurance swims.
So I think
there's
a
chance. I think there's a chance I will be continuing doing that. But I just really want to see where things are going with swimming. I think I'd love to go to performance swimming uni, preferably in the UK. I'm thinking Loughborough, Bath, something like that.
Okay.
But just continue my swimming and education and see where it takes me, really, is the idea. And always stay connected to Mount Kelly because it really has a lot to do with who I am today and the swimming that I do and the confidence it's given me. Like, if you spoke to me in year 10, I would not be like the person I am today. And I think that has a lot to do with Mount Kelly and the coaching, the swimming and the academics. I think it's incredible.
Amazing. And then final, you mentioned about Man Up, that men's mental health charity.
Yes.
I'm guessing they've got a website. Do you know what the website address is?
They've got a website, but I have got my fundraising link, so which has the website in it as well. So hopefully we might put the fundraising link in the description. So we've got all of that, which will have the link to the website and to if you can donate towards the actual fundraising link as well. But it can also be found on Instagram pages. So that's on my Instagram as well.
Well, we'll put a link to that in the show notes for this podcast episode. But also, people hearing this, guys checking up on other guys, women checking up on other guys as well. All of us really just checking up on each other is a great thing to do, nevertheless.
Great.
Barney, it's been a real privilege talking to you. I appreciate you giving up your time, your lunch break, of course, to be here to talk to us today about this. Super impressed with what you're doing in your life and at Mount Kelly. Thank you so much for being here and explaining all of it to us.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Really enjoyed it.